of cannabis products sales is unthinkably insufficient. It will not pencil out the taxpayers' total cost to pay for the Office of Neighborhood Noise Control Officer, police officers, 911 responders who respond to those individual and businesses who find loopholes and work on the shady side of life. For starters, maybe accepting free plants in exchange for whatever. And once this is set, it's nearly impossible to change. You all know I've been down here trying to raise the beer malt beverage fee, frozen since 1977 at a penny a pint. Once this is in law, it may take another 40 years, about the time that our PDC-URAC's South Waterfront and Clinton Street Triangle expires in 2056. If we don't do it right now, we'll lose those votes in December, in November. The public doesn't like dancing with their tap dancing with their dollars. Now that I am happy to hear Mary and others work for the quality of air. And whether it be escrow, you've known about escrow, we've known about Bullseye, we've known about for years and years Precision Cast Parks. DEQ needs to be dealt with. Our governor's done our best. There's some people are no longer there. But they can do more. That is a state issue. Multnomah County's right in addressing the public health issues, especially addressed to our children. So I thank you for reconsidering this and setting up a collaborative effort. Commissioner Fritz is right. We really need to work together with Metro, with Multnomah County, and OLCC. There's a lot of factors here. There's a lot of work yet to be done. Don't change the focus that Commissioner Fritz has put in front of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Marianne.
I'm Doug Larson. I'm chairman of the Cathedral Park Neighborhood Association, and I'm also a member of the Portland Harbor CAG. I remember seeing most of you participate in the St. John's Parade this year, so I know that you sometimes share the same air we're breathing in North Portland. Given that you're raising revenue from smoking, I think it's appropriate to talk about what else goes into our lungs. In the short term, I would like to see you advocate for the clean diesel. Tina Kotek did a town hall meeting in North Portland on Monday night, and she indicated one of her legislative priorities this year will be achieving parity with California and Washington on diesel emissions. That's something the city can lobby for in the short term. I'd also like to see the city spend money on monitoring. At that same meeting, DEQ made a presentation about monitoring around Swan Island and Daimler, and the university professors that rebutted the DEQ arguments pointed out that all of their monitoring was in a place where they weren't directly monitoring what was coming from Swan Island, so they weren't getting useful results. Additionally, they put up a heavy metals detector up by Columbia Steel. It didn't report any heavy metals. It reported arsenic, but Columbia Steel self-reports something like 38,000 pounds of manganese into the atmosphere. George Middle School is one of the 1% worst air quality in the entire country. The USA Today smokestack report that's been redacted is back online. So they report that the middle school, 93% of their air pollution is manganese. And they report that most of that they attribute to Columbia Steel. But there's a huge blanket of silence about industrial pollution in North Portland. We would like to get some air monitoring so we know exactly what we're dealing with. Long term, I would love to see the city take responsibility for air quality away from DEQ. DEQ has completely betrayed the public trust. They show evidence of being too willing to compromise public health to promote corporate profit. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. Okay.
Next three are Mary Eng, artist Laura Vanderlyn, and Shedrick Wilkins.
Come on up.
Hi, good afternoon, City Council. I want to thank all the wonderful citizens who are coming up to offer their testimony. I'm very in agreement with their issues about air quality and think that's it's kind of inspiring to know that the people who are cannabis activists are also cross-disciplinary environmental activists. And I think that's just a beautiful symbolic thing about how Portland thinks. And I had run into Nick Caleb on the way in. And I was like, what, how should I take this? And he's like, well, we're going to try to put an environmental twist on it and move it towards some kind of allocation of the tax revenue into the environment. But I just wanted to share with you something I find really fascinating, which is an international law enforcement organization called LEAP, and it's Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. And I found out from a former MI5 Annie Machon, or spelled M-A-C-H-O-N, but she is very proud of this and promoting it. And I think we really have to think about how what we are doing is of worldwide importance. It's being looked at from an international basis. There are very frustrated activists in other countries who are not to this point. So it's maybe a great time to pat ourselves on the back after a long day and a long year of how hard our community is working on these issues and how many people are gaining relief from suffering and chronic pain and anxiety. And I thank all the great people like David Keith Davis's mother, Miss Pamela Snow White Davis, who was an early pioneer of the marijuana reform movement. And we've got a lot of people in our community who think along these lines, like Mary Jo Stull. And I also want to recognize an officer who fell in the line of duty in a Portland police marijuana raid back in the day. Barry Stoll knows all about it, and he really should look at his Department of Justice fairness hearing in Judge Simon's court testimony, because he refers to his deep insider knowledge of Colleen's death. And her last name is escaping me. I'm thinking it was like it began with an H. But we have to see that when law enforcement internationally are uniting to try to shift the focus onto other things, I don't know so much about them, but I would suggest some people get involved with them and look at them and see how we can reach out possibly even to our own federal government, see if they can see things through our eyes, and then move towards a future where we can deal with serious drug addiction as a disease and not a crime, so we can have a more humane society. Thank you so much for your work on this measure, Ms. Fritz, and I support and approve it. Thank you very much. And I'd like to recognize the work of the future activists who I've just met, and I'm very excited to hear their testimony, and I really appreciate the reallocation of 3 minutes instead of the previously curtailed 2 minutes, which was a disrespect to the citizens' voice. But I think the citizens will be resilient and spring back and be here to hold that space. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good afternoon. I'm artist Laura Vanderlyn. I know that in January there was a 25% tax on marijuana. Is that correct?
Now.
So, yes, there's right now there's a 25% tax on marijuana. So I'm just against the whole 3%. You cite, or I've heard that we want this marijuana tax for police, to pay for more police, for, what was it again? Where did I see it? Anyways, for the health and safety of our children, we have a cigarette tax that should be taking care of that. We have insurance that should be taking care of a lot of things that you're asking the 3% to pay for. I don't understand why we need to pay 3% when we are already paying 25%. There's a lot of... I don't go into a liquor store and sign my name and have to, say who I am and get a picture of my ID. I just go into a liquor store and buy liquor. So there's a lot of, gatekeeping in the marijuana industry, and I'm not exactly sure why that is. I just know that 3% is not necessary. We don't need more policing on marijuana. We just need to let people enjoy their recreational marijuana or their medicinal marijuana without any more tax. 3%. Who's going to allocate this money as this 3%, where that money goes? And who's going to regulate the person that's supposed to be allocating it? Because because we have businesses, we have other areas where we allocate money to help the community, and then that money is not, those resources are not given to the community. So I really am against a 3% tax, because you here in this city are not trustworthy to allocate that money, to not give it to the people. You tend to keep it, to hold on to it, and not share it with the community. I don't believe that we should do any more than 25%. 25% is already excessive. It's already excessive. And you all just kind of line your pockets, or your friends' pockets, or your cronies' pockets. I am against the 3% tax. Thank you very much.
So just to clarify, Ms. Artist, the 25% tax goes down to 17 starting the next January. So the
17 is excessive. I think that would be reasonable. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome. Go ahead.
I'm Shedrick Wilkins, and I support the 3% tax on marijuana, recreational marijuana. I think marijuana is a good way to get people off of cigarettes. Cigarettes are carcinogenic, and I don't particularly think marijuana is. I knew a person one time who smoked while she was pregnant, and her son was 3 months premature. The little thing was like this big, and she smoked. Any attempt to make people like that stop smoking, like hypnosis or something like the positive hypnosis, is a good thing. I think it costs $250,000 to keep a premature child on an incubator. Okay. And the cost of hypnosis is probably, what, $1,000 for that person? I will vote yes for this, but if you start watering it down and say it has to pay for DEQ or a bunch of other things, I may vote no. Just keep it exclusively for drug and alcohol programs, exclusively, as some sort of way to take some recreational marijuana and turn it in a way to, like, stop people from abusing cigarettes and alcohol.
Thank you. Okay.
The last person who signed up is Penny Miners.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Okay. Good afternoon. My name is Penny Miners. I live in North Portland. I'm neither a competent nor a comfortable public speaker, but I am here today to speak for my North Portland neighbors, the mothers and fathers who cannot be here in the middle of the work week, the mothers and fathers who are terrified of the air their children are breathing and tired of being on the DEQ merry-go-round. I am here to ask that you consider using some of these new revenues to fund the establishment of a local air quality authority. We live in a neighborhood of the good, the bad, and the ugly. We are fortunate to have an industrial neighbor, Vigor, who stepped forward and took responsibility for the pollutants they were putting into our air and cleaned them up. We are unfortunate to have another industrial neighbor, Daimler, who denies any responsibility for the paint fumes that assault our neighborhood on a regular basis, and they continue to spew what appears to be neurotoxins into our air. We are a neighborhood which has been truly and miserably let down time and time and time again by the agencies whose job it is to protect the air we breathe. We have a long 4 or 5 year history of working, waiting, and being let down by DEQ, starting with Daimler's Title V permit, waiting for DEQ to develop its nuisance strategy, waiting through the Swan Island forum process, then waiting again through DEQ's nuisance investigation of Daimler, and most recently let down and stunned by the inadequacy of their year-long monitoring program in North Portland. DEQ does not know its science. It does not do peer review. As Professor Ekman of UP said of DEQ's nuisance investigation, if this were a study done by one of his students, even an undergraduate would receive a failing degree, a grade. Nor does DEQ engage with the neighborhood. We neighbors are left feeling as if we are all alone out there and there is no one in our corner. We need, or rather I hope we don't need, a local air authority. I hope this nightmarish ride on DEQ's merry-go-round ends with the state adopting new health-based air quality regulations, because I know the industry does not need another layer of regulatory control. However, we need to be ready to take control, if local control, if the state's efforts fail. So we need to start doing our homework now. The dollars spent preparing for local control will not be wasted dollars if the state succeeds. Rather, the homework we do can be used as peer review for DEQ's proposed regulatory changes. For, as our neighborhood experience can attest, DEQ needs a lot of peer review. Please, we need health-based air quality regulations. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Watchdog PDX. I don't smoke marijuana, but I was there for the people that wanted to legalize it when you denied them a permit down at the waterfront park for educational purposes. I want to see more with this tax applied toward more educational purposes. Again, drug and alcohol treatment. And one of the issues I have, it's interesting here today on people talking about air pollution, which I did not think that would be happening at this particular meeting. But with that in mind, it's giving me an opportunity to say something that has really concerned me for quite a long time. Next door at the Portland building, you have a daycare center. Along that daycare center, you leave that open for the young children that are a lot of the children of the people in this building and also the Portland building. But when you look at the location of that daycare center and the open area they have the young kids out there, if you notice, the buses stop right on that corner every 20 minutes. And when you look at their exhaust going up, in the wind blowing toward that daycare center, I look at that with a lot of concern, because these are the young kids of the city employees, where you have the buses stopping at the proximity of only 30 feet across the street with the exhaust going up high in the air, knowing that those fumes float over to that daycare center. And it's always upset me that something hasn't been done to stop that from happening, at the very least close that facility so that air isn't just blowing there every 20 minutes from those TriMet buses, affecting the young kids of the employees of City Hall. And that is a fact. If you were to test that air right next door to that daycare center, those young kids are breathing that probably right now as we're speaking. And something needs to be done. Something needs to be done. It needs to be tested to protect those young kids in daycare centers, which are breathing that currently as we speak. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Anyone else? All right. Thank you all. So further discussion before we move this on to second reading?
It's a resolution.
Sorry, it's a resolution.
But if council wants to move it to next week, we could do it next week. We have the other referral next week, too, so I'm trying to avoid that.
So is there some interest in delaying until next week?
There is, at least on my part. I want to address the air quality issues that folks here have raised, and I think that their suggestions are very much worth considering. I was talking with Mary Pivoteau about various, air pollution initiatives that the city might want to invest in on Friday, and it occurred to me that this might provide a vehicle. And I talked to Commissioner Fritz about it, and she told me that basically it's too late. We're too far along in this process now to add such provision, among other things. But I think that I hope everybody reads the Oregon Environmental Council's testimony, and I'll cite from a fact sheet that they have online. Diesel pollution causes up to 460 premature deaths in Oregon each year. That's the headline. And Oregon is a dumping ground for dirty diesel engines because the state does not have the kind of regulation on diesel engines that California and Washington do. And what the Oregon Environmental Council says is that, I mean, obviously they support simply adopting California or Washington-style regulations on diesel, but they also say that the oldest and most polluting engines also tend to be the ones that work in greatest proximity to our neighborhoods, running local routes or work on local construction projects. These older engines are the workhorses of small business owners for whom the cost of a new engine is prohibitive. By investing our dollars in offsetting the cost of new engines, we can gain public health benefits in supporting these local operators. Now, it's my hope that we adopt for our next legislative agenda as one of our priorities, asking the legislature to, as Speaker Kotek has suggested, adopt California or Washington-style diesel regulations. We would hope, of course, that the state would step up with some money for small and particularly women minority-owned businesses with dirty diesel engines to help them retrofit them. But I think that our advocacy would be stronger and we'd have more credibility with the state if we said there was at least a possibility that we'd be able to step up and provide some matching funds for those kind of conversions. Now, I understand Commissioner Fritz's concern that she's got a package that she is quite confident would pass at the ballot and she's reluctant to tamper with it. So I think it might be appropriate to think about any changes for a week or so. But just looking at the resolution, I think that, I mean, there's some folks here, I think, who would want to have a more general statement that the money could be used for air quality programs. But given my particular concern about diesel and the particular concern about small businesses, I think actually we'd fit that in simply by making a modification to the third bullet. I don't know if businesses with diesel engines are innovative neighborhood small businesses, but they are businesses. So to be safe, to allow for that for use, we might not have to knock out innovative, but and maybe even neighborhood. But I would just add one more, perhaps after job training opportunities, add and retrofitting equipment and vehicles to reduce air pollution as one of the kind of assistance to small business in addition to business incubator programs that we might spend some of this money on.
Okay, other comments?
So I guess I had a question of the sponsor. How will this money, assuming the measure passes, how will this allocation be made? Who makes the decisions?
The council.
Or who makes the recommendations to the council? That's the more important part.
The budget process. So it will go through the Office of Neighborhood Involvement budget process, which, as you remember, is once a week for several months. We'll have also involved the marijuana policy oversight team, so there'll be a separate consideration, including industry reps and neighborhood reps. Anybody who shows up gets to participate in the Office of Neighborhood budget session, and then their recommendation will come to council for a final decision.
So we're relying on neighborhood activists to make decisions about drug treatment programs and the efficacy of them?
It's just like any other, everything else in the budget process. We listen to our community members, and it comes as a recommendation to the council.
Yeah, I guess my concern, frankly, you know, to be quite blunt, is I'm just concerned that the ONI committee is so inclusive that we're going to get recommendations that countenance everything under the sun is eligible for funding under this.
Well, I think you'll find from the industry reps that they are very also able to participate, and I would just respectfully ask you.
But there's 50 already on the ONI committee.
No,
industry reps are probably going to be
there. Is zero
three
right now?
Well,
anybody who
wants historically, there's 50.
Anybody
you made a point of that throughout the budget process.
Anybody who wants to can participate. And we've had a very robust set of discussions on marijuana, so anybody who wants to can come and participate.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm not going to oppose this effort here, but I do want to, you know, just raise the flag that I think putting it under the ONI Budget Advisory Committee process is going to produce skewed recommendations for the funding.
Well,
okay,
so
thank you. Matt, could you just give us where we're at with the district and the discussions with the council?
Yeah, I want to comment on this, and I am very interested in the air quality issue, but frankly, I regard that as a completely severable matter from the approval of this tax. First of all, we've got to decide as a city and a county if we want to take on a function which is now a state function. We've heard today serious concerns about the competence of that state effort. I understand those concerns. But there's a threshold question for the city and the county, and that is, do we want to use the authority we have to create a local air quality regulatory body? I am still open to that possibility, and I know the county, I believe the county chair is as well. Then the question is, what does that effort look like, and how do you pay for it? I think, frankly, we would be getting way ahead of ourselves to earmark this revenue source for that good purpose, even if I ultimately believe we should spend a lot of money on that good purpose. First of all, my first choice would be to have polluters pay for how we deal with air quality, rather than have some other revenue source earmarked for that purpose. So, I'm being a little fussy here about revenue, but this ought to go into the council budget process. I won't be here to decide how these monies are spent, so let me put that on the table right now. I don't have a special interest myself in how these monies are spent, but the council ought to have the flexibility, as the current language provides, to have it go into a variety of legitimate purposes that have something to do with marijuana, public safety, drug treatment, it's neighborhood business preservation, all things that are affected by the new arrival of this industry in our neighborhoods, including competing for real estate with neighborhood businesses. So I see a reasonable connection with all the purposes that you, Commissioner Fritz, have listed in the resolution. And again, I have a great deal of interest in this air quality issue. But frankly, to just opportunistically say, oh, here's a new revenue source, let's earmark that now for air quality, not knowing if we're going to cross the threshold and say we're going to have an air quality district, not knowing how much that effort would cost to do either what DEQ isn't doing or more of what they're doing, and then not taking an opportunity to say have people who contribute X tons of pollutants to pay by the ton for the cost of that effort. I think those are all important discussions that the council ought to have and the county board as well. But I do think it's getting the cart before the horse to earmark this for air quality now. So I wouldn't support that as much as I'm interested in seeing the air quality issue addressed.
Mayor, this does not earmark any specific money for anything. It makes it possible to spend the money on a variety of broad categories.
Fair enough.
And I think that there is a nexus in that a large number of people who consume marijuana do so by smoking, and smoking, whatever the other benefits of marijuana, is bad for your lungs. So to use some of the money to protect people's lungs from other pollutants, I think, is reasonable.
Well, fair
enough. In terms of nexus, alcohol is not marijuana. And this language would allow money to be spent on alcohol treatment, not just marijuana treatment. This language would also authorize money to be spent on generic small business incubator programs. And Claire Adams made it quite clear that those don't have to be marijuana businesses. So I fail to see that there's a greater nexus between marijuana taxes and generic undefined small business incubator programs than there is between marijuana and air pollution.
I think that
we've had a strong community concern about air quality issues, and I frankly have not heard a hue and cry from the citizenry about the need for generic business incubator programs recently.
Well, let me put it a little differently, Steve, because those are all true points. But the things that are listed here now are all things the city does now. The city does not now regulate air polluters. Again, I'm very interested in the question of whether the city should regulate air polluters. But the city actually funds picking people up off the street who are inebriated and taking them to Hooper. The city now funds innovative neighborhood business development through PDC, and the city now funds public safety. So this thing is in bounds with what is in our charter and what is in our code and what is in our body of work today. Again, I'm not close to the possibility that we might be in the air quality business in some future day, but to say that these revenues are available for a purpose that the city does not now provide is a stretch, as far as I'm concerned.
And I'd just like to remind my colleagues that we don't actually have this money yet, so we're arguing about how it's going to be spent, and one of my goals is to pass the ballot measure, and I think by showing the clear nexus with a fairly broad range, and as you clarified at the beginning, Commissioner Novick, that neighborhood small businesses could include other businesses other than cannabis businesses. By doing that, I think it helps us pass the ballot measure, which is, I think, more what I said when you and I discussed it on the weekend rather than that we're too late, because I do appreciate people who come in at the very last moment to give their say. There's no point in having a public hearing if it doesn't matter what the public says when they show up. And we have consistently on this council, and I have consistently supported measures that put diesel issues on the legislative agenda and looking at clean air and making sure that we are looking after the people in the neighborhoods. So what I said was that I believe that this package is what will help us pass the ballot measure, and that if we are able to pass the ballot measure, as the mayor just said, all of these things are things that we already do. So to the extent that we don't have to argue about whether we're going to fund Cheers, which has been the, except for this year, Mayor, has been the argument that has turned up seven times, if we don't have to argue about are we going to continue to do the service coordination team, then there will be money that could go to future other uses.
So
but let's pass it first.
May I jump in for a second?
Please.
Good discussion, and I think the public expects us to have these discussions in public, so I appreciate we're having this discussion. So there's three or four different points which have been raised. I'll just address them. I will defer to the sense of the body as to whether we vote today or next week. I would like to avoid a situation where, since Commissioner Saltzman is bringing forward a revenue measure for referral next week, I want to make sure that they don't trespass. And we, perhaps we have a Wednesday and Carly, do we have a Wednesday and Thursday next week? I'm sorry.
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you have a time certain on Thursday, Dan?
So, we do. That's the affordable housing bond referral.
On Thursday?
On Thursday the 30th, yes.
So, I mean, if the council wants another week to discuss this, I'm fine with that. I want to make sure we don't have votes on the same day on this matter, because I'd like them to be staged. Number two, my primary interest in creating a legislative history on this is to make sure that there's maximum flexibility granted to the council to make the judgments within the categories that Commissioner Fritz has set forth. And I know these categories were carefully conceived. I want to make sure that council has maximum flexibility. There are two things that concern me about that. One is, at the low end, we're talking about $3 million. Now, $3 million probably doesn't move the needle much generally, and if we divide it into 10 different kinds of programs, probably has virtually no impact. And so my expectation, and tell me if I'm barking up the wrong tree, is that we would treat this fund like any other budget-related matter. We would begin with a budget guidance memo from the mayor saying, this year we have said that these are our priorities. To the extent a mayor wants to give specific guidance on this fund, that this is the year that public safety should go to the top or small business goes to the top, whatever. And in terms of feedback, the different categories cross many bureau lines. Small business is really as just as much a province of Venture Portland and their advisory body as PDC and others. Public safety comes at us through a number of different committees. So I would want to make sure that the broadest possible cross-section of public had a chance to weigh in on priorities. But again, for me, the most important thing is that the council has the maximum flexibility to make this judgment, and we're clear with the voters about that, that we have a rational system for prioritizing things, and I think, frankly, in the last couple of years, Mayor, you've done a good job through the budget guidance memo setting kind of a framework, and I think that is the mayor's prerogative. That is one of your unique prerogatives. And number three, I want to make sure that whatever we're investing, assuming this passes and we have the money, I want to make sure we're moving the needle on something, and this doesn't just become a small grant program where we fritter it around and say, well, that's wonderful, we've given money to 20 different groups, but we have nothing to show for it.
Those are really good points, Commissioner. Thank you. And maybe one way to include what you just said with Commissioner Saltzman's concern about the recommendation process, that it could be a completely separate budget advisory committee for this particular fund, maybe through the mayor's office. There won't be, it'll be a different mayor that I'll be pointing to, or through the city budget office. I'd be happy. It's not specified in the code. It just says that it'll be considered in the budget process. So I'm very open to doing that.
Yeah, to me, that was kind of a curveball, Dan, in that maybe I'm misreading this, but I'm assuming that if this tax passes, these funds flow to the city of Portland, and they are basically allocated to the general fund.
No, they're in a separate fund.
They are in a separate fund.
Yeah, there's a recreational marijuana tax fund.
But, again, given the purposes that these funds cover, they are a whole bunch of general fund purposes.
Correct.
So it would just be a color of money question after that as to what purposes got funded by how much of this revenue source and how much of the other general fund revenue sources.
Mayor, I think I'm not speaking for Dan, but he caught my attention with the comment, and I think we can reasonably assume that wherever the money flows for purposes of recommendation to council, it will be shaped and colored by the primary consideration of that advisory group. And so let's say we said it was going to flow through the police advisory group. Well, we won't be surprised to see that there's a recommendation for $3 million to backfill cuts that we'd otherwise lose or to invest in new programs.
Right.
I think we want to make sure that, again, going back to what I said earlier, I want the council to have the maximum flexibility within the criteria that Commissioner Fritz has very thoughtfully laid out to expend these monies in furtherance of what the voters, if assuming they vote on it, direct us to do. And I would prefer it not to get waylaid in some place where you might have a particular view of how it's spent coloring the recommendations coming to council.
I hear that.
You know what? Something we could do which would be interesting would be to ask the citizen budget advisors to be the budget group that decides about this stuff. The people who come to all of our work sessions. But anyway, the code is silent on how that process works. So I'm very happy to work with you all on figuring out how do we get the advice on how to spend it. As I said, my main concern right now is getting it referred and getting it referred in such a manner that I hope it will pass.
Mr. I think my sense is you have the votes to refer this. Do you believe that an additional week of conversations with a time certain for a vote would be beneficial or not? And I think the council would benefit from your view on that.
I've worked on this really hard. So I think there's enough flexibility to help small businesses in general, and that would then free up other money. So if you're ready to vote.
I'd prefer to do that as well. But again, if the assurances that you've made are sufficient to address the concerns that you have, that's important because now I understand the concern you have better.
And then an additional measure that I concur with both the testifiers and Commissioner Novick, that we do need to potentially do more on clean air if the state doesn't, and so I'll definitely be supportive of that effort.
So I guess I'm hearing, in terms of assurances, Commissioner Fritz, you're saying that, in fact, we will not use the ONI Budget Advisory Committee to be the decider. We will put together a hybrid
be happy
committee.
To do that, okay. Yes. Thank you for suggesting
no
that.
Pun intended.
This new tax was first floated to the public on, according to Willamette Week, May 16th. And I think it's rather unusual for us to pass a brand new tax based on 5 weeks of deliberation and one hearing. The argument made against my rather minor amendment is that it might doom the ballot measure. I would like to have a week, or actually I'd like to have a couple of weeks, to try to gather some evidence that a small change in the language of the third bullet would not doom the ballot measure.
Well, Steve, actually, I got to disagree with that. We voted on a marijuana tax on this council before the measure was ever considered by the voters in 2014. So,
as a preemptive measure,
right.
Not anything substantive.
And we're voting on the bond measure next week with about the same.
I'd really rather not have both these tax measures on next week. So I'd prefer to take a vote today. If it fails, it fails, and then there'll be more time.
Okay, I stated an amendment before, eliminate the words innovative neighborhood for small businesses and add after job training opportunities. Just retrofitting equipment and vehicles to reduce air pollution, semicolon. So I move that amendment.
Okay, is there a second for that?
I'll second.
Okay, further discussion of the amendment.
I'd like to speak against the amendment. The words innovated neighborhood businesses was worked out with the industry, with Commissioner Fish's input, and I believe that adding the vehicle emissions makes will it just doesn't go in with what the rest of the package says.
Mayor, question to you. What you said earlier was you see these potentially as separate issues that can be addressed through separate approaches. So
absolutely,
there's a proposal being discussed about whether there should be a local regulatory agency. There, with in connection with that, there could be a discussion about how you fund those activities or other kinds of things. And your view is that they can be dealt with separately?
I do think they have to be they have to be dealt with separately, because first we got to decide what the city is going to do and what the county is going to do under the state law about forming an air quality district. One could make the argument that it's a county public health function and that the county should take the lead. Obviously, we demonstrated earlier today that we're capable of having an adult discussion with Multnomah County about who's better at doing what. So we should have that discussion, decide what we want to do about a local air quality effort once we've decided that we have to do that. My first choice is DEQ does an excellent job, and we have much better assurances about the air quality in our city provided by our state that has the regulatory authority today to do that job. If they fail in that, in our opinion, we do have the authority to proceed, and I'm still interested in doing that, but my first choice is for the state to do it well.
Mayor, but just the other question I want to ask is, the net effect is to open the door so that something could be funded in this category. It doesn't compel the council to fund it. The council may choose at some point it's not the appropriate mechanism. So just help me understand that nuance.
Well, the council has almost infinite discretion about how the general fund is spent. So if we took on an air quality function, we could, first of all, allocate general fund to that purpose. Secondly, we could enact some other revenue source, not even a tax, but a permit for air quality, for air pollution, and those kinds of systems already exist. And you go through our city business license tax system to deal with those businesses that generate air pollutants. I mean, there are lots of ways and means by which the city could add funding to cover that new function, that new department. But before the city creates a new department, at a time where we're already worried about funding, having enough police officers, taking care of our parks, and other basic city functions, I would urge the council to be very cautious about that question, even while being very resolute about making sure that the air quality issue is handled.
I don't see that really being Commissioner Novick's amendment, even though we heard testimony about creating our own regulatory authority. I don't think that's the intent of his amendment. I think the intent is to simply say, shouldn't these grants be eligible? I thought it was a very good example for minority and women, emerging small businesses who often can't afford the cleaner diesel, heavy equipment. Couldn't that be an eligible purpose of the grants under this revenue?
Exactly, Commissioner Saltzman.
And businesses probably could.
The city does fund construction.
I think they could ask for it under the current
The current language is quite broad.
Well, colleagues, we're referring a tax measure, and I think the tradition has been to try to get consensus when possible on these things, because this is the council referring something, and the council has to stand on the back end. I want to make sure I understand what Commissioner Fritz just said. Is it your view that without the amendment, that particular challenge could be funded with these dollars?
Yes, I think if there's a women-owned or a minority-owned business, they could say, we're being very innovative, we're not, we're going to convert our trucks to cleaner diesel.
So are we now arguing form over substance, if it's covered?
I think so. So that's why I don't support the amendment.
Steve, you now have legislative history that supports a concept you've raised. Again, my tendency is to defer to the sponsor if it gets really to a close call. You do seem to have legislative history that supports an issue that you have put on the table. Are you satisfied with that?
Well, I'm a little worried that somebody might argue that, I mean, by the way, I just have to respond to what the mayor said about only talking about things that we don't do and the city doesn't do this. The city does pay for a lot of construction, and the city tries to hire minority and women-owned and emerging small businesses. And this proposal would assist some of those businesses to continue to participate in construction. Now, I am a little concerned that if we keep the word innovative in, and if there is a legal requirement that all engines be converted to clean diesel, complying with that requirement might not be seen as particularly innovative. So I'm a bit concerned by just saying that we leave the language as it is when I cannot imagine that it's going to doom the measure to change a word or two.
So I would accept as a friendly amendment the deletion of the word innovative, but not the rest of your proposed change.
All right, there's not objection. I'll accept that friendly amendment. Now, do you still want to vote on yours, Steve?
Steve, I think that there's a legislative history. You have built a record. You have made a strong case, and you have your council colleagues agreeing that is within a reasonable interpretation of the language.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right, Mayor,
you withdraw your amendment, Steve. Is that right?
Yes, replacing it with the friendly amendment to
look. Okay, the friendly amendment's adopted. Okay, further discussion.
I don't want the public to think we're backtracking from innovation. I will to go to our default position on innovation, which is whenever possible. And Mayor, I move the vote.
Okay, let's take a vote, please.
Just to put a little texture around this, I came to this hearing today not knowing what the outcome would be, not being clear about where we would land, whether we would vote today, and what the final product would look like. So I really appreciate the collegial conversation. I appreciate the testimony. I appreciate the kind of public sausage making. And I think we've gotten to a place where it's likely we're going to have 5 votes in support of an action, which I think on a referral is important. It's particularly important where we're asking a single member of council to take the lead in moving forward and seeking public support. I think this is a well-crafted resolution, and I think the priorities that are set forth in the resolved in terms of where the money can be allocated make a lot of sense. And I'm also pleased that we are all in agreement that the council will have maximum flexibility in deciding how to allocate the money. And Commissioner Fritz, based on the conversation we've had, excuse me, Mayor, if we can.
Oh, sorry, let him go on.
Commissioner Fritz, would you yield for just one second? Thank you. In Exhibit B, we also have the word innovative. So we're going to need to change that as well as in the actual code language. And that gives us an extra word for the question. So instead of in it, we said in the question that we're going to be putting towards the voters, we said support innovative neighborhood businesses. So since we don't need innovative anymore, we could put small instead, small neighborhood businesses.
That was my original suggestion. So why don't we just move that as an amendment?
Let's move both of those as an amendment. Then let's backtrack, please.
Call that the Fritz Amendment.
We're going to amend the text of the first paragraph.
Council, do we have that?
Yeah.
The Fritz Amendment has both.
Everywhere.
So let me restate it. We're going to amend the first paragraph of the resolution itself by removing the word innovative. We could at that point add the word small if you wish, but most importantly, in the impact statement under Exhibit B, we're going to delete in the legislative title the word innovative and replace it with the word small. I got that right?
Yes, thank you.
So that's the amendment.
I second the amendment.
Okay. Further discussion of that amendment.
Now voting on the second amendment.
Incorporates those two wording
amendment
changes.
Section.
Okay. Roll call on the amendment.
Ish.
Good catch. Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
I usually have mixed feelings about the second amendment, but I'm very happy to do this one. Aye.
Hales.
Aye. Not that second amendment.
Commissioner Fritz, okay. Before I continue, would you like me to yield on any other matter?
I'll let you know if I find anything else. Thank you.
So, colleagues, in sum, I appreciate the work that Commissioner Fritz and her staff and the city team have put into crafting this resolution. I appreciate the thoughtfulness in creating the categories which would be eligible expenditures. I appreciate the council discussion, which has made clear that the council will have maximum flexibility. It will create a unique mechanism for seeking recommendations for how to spend the money in addition to what we would expect in the ordinary course, which is guidance from the mayor. And I want to put in a plug for us not viewing this as a small grants program, but looking for ways to maximize the impact of whatever revenues that we invest. Thank you all. Aye.
Altman.
Aye.
Novick.
I really appreciate all the work Commissioner Fritz has put into this proposal, along with members of the industry for working with her. And I thank Commissioner Fritz and my colleagues for considering an issue which I and community activists raised at somewhat the last minute, and I really appreciate the efforts of Mary Pivoteau and the Oregon Environmental Council and all of the neighborhood activists who came here today to ask us to make it clear that we care about clean air. Aye.
Indeed, we do care about clean air, and we care about wise use of substances like this. It's kind of with mixed feelings that I vote on this, because I'm condemning myself to do dozens of neighborhood meetings in September and October to get it passed. I think I went to 100 for the Parks Bond measure. I'm not going to be campaigning over the summer because my son is getting married, and that's important. So, and I'm going to visit my mother. But certainly, you can expect invitations to me expect me to try to invite myself to a lot of different community events to explain about this tax, because if the voters were to pass it, the total tax would go down from 25% to 20%, and I believe that we've allocated its uses to good uses that the people of Portland will hopefully support. So thank you very much, colleagues. I appreciate this robust discussion and the compromise we've gotten to. Aye.
Gales.
Ditto to that, and thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for crafting a responsible, thoughtful measure that I believe the voters should smile on, because this is a way to have a modest tax on a new part of our local economy that does have an impact on what we do. So I think this is the right and reasonable thing to do. I want to return to our debate for just a moment and maybe explain a little better where I'm coming from. One of the reasons I ran for this office was to try to put the city into better financial condition, and I take seriously what you said, Commissioner Fish, that that's one of my core responsibilities, and it does say on my door, Commissioner of Finance and Administration. And I want to make sure that this council and that the next mayor are in a position of financial strength like the one that we're in now to deal with a lot of big challenges. We do have more parks to maintain and more parks to build. We do have responsibilities that all of you and that I, while I'm here, are going to need to shoulder. And at some point, quite soon, the City Council of the City of Portland is going to have to get to a conclusion, which I have tried to highlight, that we're going to have to spend more money to have the number of police officers that we have today. That's not welcome news. I understand that. It wasn't welcome during the budget process, and it might not still be welcome today. But I've reached the hard and unfortunate conclusion that we're going to have to spend more money to have the police bureau that we've already budgeted for. And I want this council to have the dollars available to meet that first responsibility of city government when the council is ready to do so. Because we have now 63 less officers than we have in our budget, and I can unfortunately predict that perhaps by the end of my service as mayor, that number will be 100 down. At some point, the community is going to say, wait a minute, there was an attempted abduction on my street today, a 22-year-old woman. Those kinds of crimes need a 911 response. There are other things that the police bureau does that they will have to sacrifice in order to meet those 911 calls. We will have to have enough police officers to do that work. I want this council to have the dollars in the till to pay for what it's going to require to have the police bureau that you want. And therefore, having more funding available for public safety is a good idea. Aye.
Before you gavel us out, I neglected to refer to my notes, and there are several people that I really would like to thank on
this.
Starting with Claire Adamczyk, who did a fantastic job in her first presentation to council, Tim Crail, Christina Nieves, and Golden Salazar in my office, Thomas Lanham and Scott Carter from the Revenue Bureau, Andrew Scott in the City Budget Office, Ben Walters, our city attorney, and Teresa Marchetti and the whole marijuana policy program staff, as well as the policy oversight team. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you all. We're adjourned till next week.